Let's take a Bible tonight and go over the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And the Apostle Paul deals with sin that has crept into the church right here. And I want to get back to the series of messages that we've been preaching on getting back to the basics. And you say, well, I can understand getting back to the basics of salvation, but how does separation fit into that? Well, that should just be the Christian life. We looked last week at separation from the world, but tonight we're going to look at some separation from some people, and some from doctrine tonight, if God would help us tonight. So let's begin to read in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And the Bible said, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from you, from among you. For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that had done so done this deed. Man, I'm telling you, I'm like Jeff Hembry tonight. I'm just adding all kinds of words in here. Verse 4. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. And therefore let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters, for then must you needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not you judge them that are within, but them that are without God judgeth. And therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. You can be seated tonight. Heavenly Father, we certainly need your help. We certainly need you tonight. I pray that you'd just come by and guard our mind and our thoughts, and help us while we stand to preach tonight to give us great understanding in the Word of God that could help us live in these very last days, that could help us to be separated from the things that we need to be separated from and to the things that you'd have us separated to. And Lord, we want to tell you again that we love you. Thank you for the singing tonight. I pray that it blessed your holy name tonight and brought glory and honor. But Lord, we need a touch from you. Save that one that's lost for this in Jesus' name. Amen. In this passage of Scripture, as Paul deals with the church at Corinth, as the sin of fornication has come in, and we find that they did not want to deal with it. As a matter of fact, if you look in verse 2, he said, you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that had done this deed might be taken away from among you. And I believe here you've got a man that obviously does not want to repent of his sin. Because I think if he wanted to repent of his sin, that Paul would have let him and just got right with the Lord. As a matter of fact, if you go to the book of 2 Corinthians, I really believe we see that happen over there. And they didn't want to let him get right. Paul says kick him out of the church, and so I believe they do. And then as he wants to repent and get right, I believe that we can see that they would not let him do that. As a matter of fact, in verse 2, he said, you're puffed up and not mourned. Verse 6, he said, your glorying is not good. It almost seems as though that they were prideful and glorying in this matter. There's some things here about this sin in this church that is a little hard for me to grasp. If I understand right, he said, you're puffed up. That's pridefulness. Either they didn't want to deal with it, but he said over here, your glorying is not good. It almost seems as though they gloried in that thing. And I'm it's hard for me to wrap my mind around that they would glory in that type of sin or any sin at all. But there was a need for that to be taken away. And as I said, obviously he did not want to get right. And Paul said right here in verse 3, he said, for I verily is absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already. And so Paul makes a judgment, and that according, no doubt, according to the Word of God, and that's where our judgment must come from, is from the Word of God. And Paul wanted him and that removed out of the church. As a matter of fact, he said, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together in my spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. And so he was exacting, if I could say that, some church discipline. Now, don't get excited tonight. As far as I know, we don't need to do that. As far as now. Church discipline has went by the wayside, hadn't it? Folk don't deal with sin anymore in church. Come as you are, do what you want to do, put your money in the plate, go live how you want to, but come to church. That ain't how it works, friend. As a matter of fact, Paul judges it right here. He said, I've made my judgment already by what you've told me. As a matter of fact, he said, it's reported commonly. This ain't just something that I've heard once or twice, or maybe three times. He said, this is reported commonly. Everybody knows what's going on down at the church house. And everybody knows that you're not dealing with this like you need to. Now, let me say that the church at Corinth as they were a carnal church, there's no doubt about that. And man, they had a lot of things, if I can use that word, things, going on in their church, and they wanted to do a lot of things, but even in all of what was going on, they were still getting some stuff done for the Lord Jesus. You can read that over there. But when I looked at this, I was brought in that to the verse that as he judged, as he's talking about judging the world, how the Lord would judge the world, he said in verse 12, do not you judge them that are within, talking about those that are saved and within the church. And in verse 11, he said, but now I've written unto you that you keep not to keep company if any man that is called a brother. Now, he's not talking about worldly people. We've already dealt with that last Sunday. We dealt with the world and their sin and the draw that it has upon us, that we're to separate out of the world of wicked and evil things, and that to holy and godly things. God said in 1 Peter 5, or 1 Peter 1, in verse 16, to be ye holy, for I am holy. But notice that he deals here with somebody that's called a brother. He said if he's a fornicator, covetous, idolater, a railer, a drunkard, or an extortioner, he said don't eat with him. And so getting back to the thought of separation, let me say that we need to be separated tonight, and that from sinful or bad brethren. You say, well, I'd never be around people like that. You may not, but I know a preacher that him and his wife, they love to play Rook. Y'all know what Rook is? It's a card game. And so they would play with a handful of other couples, and all these couples would get together, and they're older, I won't call them old, they're just older people, older than me and Miss Kelly. So they were playing, and come to find out that, one of this couple, they were unmarried, but yet they were living together. Now, let me ask you this question. You reckon they ought to be, now some of y'all don't think they ought to have been playing cards, and that's a whole other message for another time, okay?
But should they have been over there fellowshipping with those people that were living together and living in fornication? I think you know the answer tonight, and the answer to that is no, they shouldn't have been. As a matter of fact, when that all come to light, I know one of the other couples, one of the other older couples, they separated themselves from all that mess when all that come to light. And that's what they should have done. Amen. And that's what you need to do. You say, well, they'll not be my friend anymore. You don't need friends like that. I'll say that tonight. Listen, if they are a fornicator and that's living in sin, in promiscuity, listen, he talks about the railer, those that scoff and uses reproachful language, you know, just always railing and going on, or a drunkard or an extortioner or somebody that is covetous. He said, we're not to have anything to do with those people. So as I study this and begin to think about, could saved people be that way? You know, one of the things in the margin of my Bible talks about them being false professors, but I'm going to tell you something tonight. Saved people can do wrong things. And Paul makes a most definite separation between these two. He talks about those that are without, and that's those in the world, and he talks about those that are within, and that's those that are in the church, I believe, that he's referring to. I know everybody in the church is not saved. I understand that. But I do know that saved people can make bad decisions and do wrong things. Are we doing okay tonight? All right. Let me say tonight that the Bible warns me and you about sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. If you go, let's go over there and look at 1 Corinthians 10 tonight. And we've already dug some holes, I can already tell. Let's just go ahead and dig on down in the rock tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's back up and look in verse 6. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Now he's talking about the children of Israel right here. Neither be ye idolaters, as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for our examples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now let me stop right here and keep your finger there because I'm going to do verse 12. But notice Paul kept saying, this is our example right here. This is our example, our example. Don't do these things. If it was not capable, if a saved person was not capable of doing sin and wrong things, then why would Paul have to warn the church at Corinth, don't do this? And then he warns, goes even a little further in verse 12 when he says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. If we come to the point that we don't think we can sin and Satan can get us, that Satan cannot get us, he's already got us at that point. The capability of us falling is real. So I want to take heed tonight and not fall. We can be walking along. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm sure somebody has made this application. But the older you are, the harder it is to recover from a fall. When these youngins around here fall, they suck their head, bounces off the ground. They may cry a little bit, but then they get up and move right on. If my head bounces off the ground, you're going to take me to the hospital. That's just how I fell in the house here a year or two ago, and I had to lay on the floor for a little while before I could get up. I mean, it just fell. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not saying that it's easier on a young Christian, but what I'm saying tonight is we, those that are older in Christ, we've got a lot at stake if we fall tonight. I'm not saying that young Christian don't. I'm just saying that, listen, I've lived my life for the Lord Jesus Christ and built my testimony, and if I mess it up, there's a lot at stake tonight. And so he said, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. So tonight, as I look at the church at Corinth, as he told them not to keep company with this brother, he said, do not, if he is a fornicator, if he is covetous, if he's an idolater, if he's a railer or a drunkard, you'd say, well, I think saved people wouldn't be that way. You'd think so, wouldn't you? You'd think so. You wouldn't think there'd be any saved extortioners or railers or any of those things. But Paul is warning them and telling them, if there is somebody that way, you need to separate yourself from them. I do know the chastening of the hand of the Lord will come. If folk are in sin, I understand that that's going to happen. Hebrews 12 tells us that. We know that folk will reap what they sow. Listen, as a matter of fact, if you don't think that God will come and take people out that are in their sin, He'll do it tonight. Just to prove his point and do what Paul said right here, to love one such unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved and then Lord Jesus. And I'm not sure, I will say this tonight, I do believe there is sin unto death. I think God will deal with people and deal with people about getting right, and then eventually he's going to come get them. I believe that tonight. You may not believe that, but I do. So what are we to do? He tells us in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. So you withdraw yourself. You don't go eat with them. You don't fellowship with them. You don't run with them. You don't do anything with them. I've told you that story. I had a preacher friend of mine. After him and his wife got divorced, he was shacking up with a woman. I don't remember why he came to my house. When he came to my house, his serpentine belt broke coming up the driveway. And I thank God done that on purpose. I do, because boy, he put me and him in the truck together. And I didn't even want to be seen with him, because I knew what the book said. He said, Richard, do you believe? I know what the book said there. There's a reason he don't want us fellowshipping with people like that. I'll deal with that here in just a second. And I had him in the truck, and I really didn't want to deal with that situation. But God would not leave me alone, and I hauled him where he was going, and about halfway there, I finally just told him, I said, what you're doing is wrong. I said, you know you're doing wrong. I know you're doing wrong. The rest of the world knows you're doing wrong. You need to get things right. And I said, to be honest with you, I don't even need to be fellowshipping with you. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, just a few verses later, in verse 14, he said, if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man. And then he said this, have no company with him. But there is a reason for that. He said this, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. So he said, we separate from them in the very fact that they might be ashamed of the sin that they're in. If me and you are running with them, if we're fellowshipping with them, we're sitting down at the same dinner table with them, and we're acting like everything's okay, they'll have no shame in their life for the sin that they're committing. Right? Is that not what your Bible says? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, he said, you have no company with him that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy. Paul said, don't count. You know, that is one of the things that in the independent Baptist churches that we've done over the years is when somebody has messed up, they've become our enemy. They've become our enemy. And instead of us admonishing them as a brother, which means to reprove or to warn or to counsel against what they're doing, we just treated them as an enemy, shot them and kicked them while they were down and left them to bleed to die. A preacher friend of mine, and I've told you this story, he called me
and told me that he had cheated on his wife. And I just let him talk. I really didn't know what to say, and he just talked and talked. And I just let him talk. And we got phone, I just dwelled on that and dwelled on that and thought about that. And me and Miss Kelly talked about that for some time. And I thought, well, it's not going to do him any good if I'm mad at him. And I thought, as long as his wife can forgive him, which she obviously has because they're still together, I kind of took my cue from her that if she could forgive him, then who am I to hold that against him if he's repented of it? And I thought, more than anything, this fella probably needs a friend at this time. And so I told him what I did. I told him, I said, you went wrong here. There's no doubt about that. But I tried my best to be a brother to him and to get him to understand where he messed up. I think he did. But folk don't need enemies. They need the brethren. Now, if they don't want to get right, that's one thing. You still just keep. Then you keep withdrawing yourself from them. You keep admonishing them and trying to encourage them how to get right. What they're doing is wrong. And I know some people that profess to be saved ain't saved. I understand that too. But when he said right here, he said not to keep company with them. Don't keep company with them. You withdraw yourself from them. But then you admonish them as a brother. You know, that may be folk that we really like. I talked about that at one time, some time back. You know that you may have to withdraw yourself from somebody that you really enjoy their company, but the way they're living just ain't right. And you're going to have to do that. Then number two, there are those that we have to withdraw ourselves from, and that with bad doctrine. Romans 16 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." Now there is some doctrine. Listen, we don't understand everything. I like to think I understand everything in here, but there's some things that I understand. There's some things that I know to be true in this book. There's some things that I know that is true. Salvation through Jesus Christ and faith through Him is true tonight. Through His beloved blood tonight. It's true. You can get saved. You can be forgiven of your sins. You can go to heaven. You can live separated. You can live right. You can please the Heavenly Father. We can do all these things. God will, He will strengthen us and encourage us, and He'll always be faithful. But He said, look, if there are some that are causing divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine that you know, He said, look, mark them and avoid them. You stay away from them. Do you know there are people out there that will do that? They do not believe nor teach the truth and the doctrine of the Bible. You know, by the way, the word doctrine just simply means that which is taught. They do not have sound doctrine. Again, I have another preacher friend that he dealt with it long enough in his church. He had a family there that was all the time questioning what was being taught, what was being preached. As a matter of fact, at the end of the whole situation, some of them young men would come up on the platform and would want to argue with him after church when he got done preaching. I mean, that got to be a normal thing, if I could say that. And you know what they finally done, what the church finally had to do? They had to meet with that family and say, it would be better for you to leave our church. They were stirring up, and that not only false doctrine, but discord among the brethren. Anytime you question something over and over and over and over and over and over again, people begin to wonder about some things. If something's worth being questioned over, that's fine.
But when it is the truth of the doctrine of the Bible, they don't need to question over. Yes, I've ever run into them people that want to question simple doctrine out of the Bible. Now, does the Bible, is that really what it means? Yeah, that's what it means. So Paul said right here in the book of Romans, he said, you mark them that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine. But you notice he said they cause divisions. They're wanting to divide. And he said, you've got to get away from those people. Because they're going to destroy everything. That's what, whether they set out to do that or not, that's what's about to happen. That brings me to number three. Why do we need to be separated? Why do we need to be separated from the sinful brethren? I'm going to tell you why we need to be separated. One is to admonish them, make them ashamed of what they're doing. But friend, I'm going to be honest with you, you might end up like them. Let him that standeth take heed lest he fall. If we just get to running with people and we see how great of a personality they have, they're not that bad of a person, even what they're doing, you might become like them. The church at Corinth did not want to deal with that sin for whatever reason. They were puffed up in it. They hadn't mourned about it. You know, Paul said, you should mourn about that sin. This whole thing should have saddened you and made you mourn about it. But he said, I've judged the situation already. If we don't deal with bad doctrine or incorrect doctrine, then it will creep in and begin to eat at the church. Just like sin, just like letting that sin go on and on and on and never dealing with it, it will just keep eating and eating and eating. And have you ever just not dealt with something that you know that you need to deal with, but you just don't want to deal with it, but you know what happens? It just eats at you. And the more you deal with it, or the more you don't deal with it, the more it eats at you. So when we do not deal with bad doctrine, when we do not mark them, when we do not say that's the person that's teaching bad doctrine and causing divisions, then that thing's probably going to sneak in and it will take over. The church at Corinth had some things that they needed to deal with. And it was simply separation. They just needed to separate that person from them. Maybe that's what you need to do tonight. Maybe there's somebody you just need to separate from your life because of the sin that is in theirs. And you just need to separate yourself. Maybe there's somebody that you like that has bad doctrine tonight. I don't know. I want to separate from them. Maybe they could see the truth. Tell them the truth. But what was it after the first and second admonition? Well, after the first and second admonition, then you reject somebody as a heretic, you tell them twice, and if they don't get it by the second time, reject them as a heretic. You say, well, that's awful tough. There's a reason for all that stuff. So you ain't got much love, preacher. Love. You know why you give them the first and second admonition? Because you love them. You know why you separate yourself from the brethren tonight that is in sin? Because you love them and you want them to get right with the Lord. If you go, it's like whipping your children tonight. If you never done it, they'd never know that you loved them tonight. To correct your children. He said, but I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetousness, or idolater, or railer, or drunkard, or an extortioner, with such one know not to eat. There is a time of separation from people of the brethren when they're in sin or if they're teaching false doctrine. We need to be separated from them. It's by our heads.